All right. Okay, here we go. First, we'll speak a moment from Parshas Korach. That's really our beginning point. We're veering away from Emorim for this week because I would call it current events a hot topic, which I felt Parshas Korach gives insight into a little bit, and it's worth talking about. You know, as so often is the case when we read Parsha, when we read the Torah, very often, if you take out from your mind everything you know from Chazal, Rashi, and whatever it is, the psukim themselves seem very different. So if we read Parshas Korach with a simple reading, you know, bad guy Korach doesn't seem so bad. He really only makes one comment. He actually looks like a pretty big hero. Right, a courageous warrior for equal rights, you know, willing to stand up to what seems an unjust and unfair, non-democratic institution, right? And unlike Dathan and Aviram, who seem to be merely politically motivated, they, you know, power struggle. We're lo nale, we're not going up. What have you done for us besides taking us out of a wonderful land in order to have us killed in the desert, which is clearly nonsense for people who still vividly remember the atrocities of the Hitler of their time, Paro and Mitzrayim. It's crazy, right? But so that's Dathan and Aviram, like, seem to be, even on the simple reading, somewhat, you know, not as Lishma. But Korach, on the other hand, he presents a very respectable and even noble position. Rav Lachem, right? You know, you've taken so much to yourself, but all the community they're all holy. And God is amongst them. So why are you putting yourself above the rest? And that's the only statement that we find Korach making in the Torah. In Chazal, they give us more clues on what Korach was telling the people. But that's the only statement we find in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, which is actually a pretty beautiful, eloquent, and flattering description of Klal Yisrael. Kulam Kedoshim, Eschem Hashem, Adua Tisnasu, Akal Hashem. That's like really, really great. So what was the problem? Why was Korach punished so severely? Where did he go wrong? So the obvious and simple answer is that the Torah doesn't believe in equality the way it is espoused today. And since the Torah is Hashem's instruction manual, Shalom Aleichem, the Torah is Hashem's instruction manual to the world, right? That means that the creator of humanity, right, set into the fabric of the world an inherent need for difference of job and difference of function. So the truth is, I had thoughts to discuss this, the Torah's view regarding equality, what does equality mean? Because there is, of course, a concept of equality. When is it applied? But we don't have time to get into it because I realize that things are just so, there's so much here. So I wanted to particularly focus on the issue of the blurring of the male and female roles in the world, and even more recently, the blurring of what actually defines the male and female in this crazy world. And of course, I will preface with the obvious statement that most of what I'm going to say over here will cater only to a believer, right? To someone who believes in the Torah. Even somebody that believes only in Torah Shebiksav would probably have to accept most of what we're saying. But certainly, if you consider yourself a frum Jew that's bound by Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and I know that it's a little bit odd to speak about this topic, because, like, what does that have to do with me? But unfortunately, there's been a lot of poison that's already been taken by people that consider themselves and are part of the religious Orthodox world, not necessarily in the Haredi world, but in other communities. And I think, therefore, that it's important that we should at least get the story straight, know something of what's going on. And then, of course, I want to take a little bit of a Kabbalistic look at some of what's going on. So the Zohar teaches like this. Zohar and Parshas Korach. Man de avid yemina smala usmala yemina, the one who makes the right the left and the left the right, ha'iu ki'ilu charav alma, he's as if destroys the world. Tachazeh, come see a proof. Tachazeh is right. Come see this proof. Aharon Yemina. Aharon is the right. Leva'i Smala. The Levim are the left. That is a principle in Zohar that's we don't really have time to get into too much, but the idea is that the Kohanim represent the right and the Levim represent the left. And that is, right and left are the idea of Chesed and Gvura, or male and female, giver and receptacle, or taking the Shefa, taking whatever it is and giving it form, limitation, etc. So the job of the Kohanim, of course, is to teach Torah, is to be mamtik, to sweeten things, right? When a person has done averis or whatever it is, or bring karbanos, so their job is to bring the chesed of Hashem. And the Levim, their job is, first of all, to guard, shmirah. That has to do with constriction, that has to do with din, judgment, holding back, right? Because that allows what's going to go on in the mikdash to go on in the right way. That allows the chesed to come down properly. They are in charge of the music, which, kabbalistically speaking, is also something of din, because emotional stirring has to do with din and not chesed. It has to do with, you know, you can see it actually in music very nicely. Music, in order to emotionally stir a person, it has very, very specific rules, right? And it's got to have a certain form to it, and if there's a little bit something that's outside of its proper form, you immediately, the ear, especially the person that really knows music, right, hears it and it's bothersome. So it's all about boundary, limitation, gvul, and that's the job of the Levim. So the Aaron is called, is the Kohanim is the right, and the Levim are the left. Korach, says the Zohar, Korach bo lemevat chilufa diyamina lesmala. He wanted to change the right to the left, Begin kach itanash, and that's why he was punished. And the Zohar says that besides that, he also said Lashon Hara, so he was punished also for that. But this is what the Zohar says is the fundamental problem. Of course, you know, he was Chalik on Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever, right? Okay, but the Zohar is actually saying over here, right, that the fundamental problem, the real big problem, in a certain sense, of what Korach did over here, forget about the fact that he's chalik on Moshe Rabbeinu, he's chalik on it. But he's a Levi. So he's trying to take the job of the Yamin, the job of the male, of the right, and bring it over to the left. Give that job to the Levim who are on the left, and that is a big problem. We know in physics, even in all atomic and subatomic material divide into these aspects of male and female, alpha, beta, positive, negative forces. That's the physical world is built on that. Kol Shekin, we know, of course, in biology, that's true. That none of us would be here was there not a male and female in that union that brings the child. So Hashem created the world in this way on all levels of the world, from the inanimate, right, to the animate, to the organic, all the levels He created in such a way in order for the world to be balanced and exist and live on a level of harmony. And when one begins to play with that sensitive balance and tries to swap roles, he wreaks havoc in the world. Right? Such behavior, right, eats at the very fabric of Hashem's creation of the universe and mankind in particular. The pasuk says in Bereishis, "Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmo, b'tzelem Elokim bara oisar." God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Zachar unekeva bara oisam, male and female, He created them. Again, later in the pasuk, later in same Bereishis, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, b'yoyim broya lekim Adam. This is this book about the generations of man, his beginning on the day that God created man. B'dmusa lekim asayso, He made him in the image of God, in the form of God. Zachar unekeva bara am. He created male and female, meaning Adam is a unit of male and female, and that is because he is in the image of God. every time the Torah stresses, he's created male and female because he is in the image of God. Because Hashem rules the world with that balance of male and female attributes. Were God to rule the world with only the feminine aspect of din, only the feminine attribute of din, so we know the world would be destroyed, right? It's just giving limitation until it just destroys itself. It can't exist. If we were to rule the world only with the male component of the attribute of chesed, the world would also be destroyed. Imagine he just keeps giving water and water. He keeps letting it rain. So that's the mabul, which destroys the world. It's too much chesed without any pullback, without any held on. That's too much. So you need that delicate balance of chesed and din, of male and female aspects, in order to run the world, in order for the world to exist. When we see this unit of man, this Adam, what the Torah calls Adam, form, that's at a wedding. At a wedding, we see, right, the man and woman married to become one, so they unite to make that unit, that Tzelem Elokim, and indeed, that's why we make the bracha in the first of the Sheva Brachos, Shehakol Bar Lechvodo, everything he created for his covet, because this is a manifestation, this newly married couple, or the newest manifestation of God's glory in this world, of the Tzelem Elokim, which contains both the male and female components. Now, the Torah is very, very clear regarding what a normal marriage is for all of mankind, right? Al kein yazov ish es aviv es imo. Right? The man will leave his father and his mother, v'dovak be'ishto, and he'll attach himself to his wife. V'hayu l'basar echad, and they become one, either one in a sense, right? But the Rashi, the way he explains is basar echad, the actual flesh in the child, right? They produce a child. And the Torah is also very clear on the issur of gay marriages, right? The es in Vayikra Yud Ches Chaf Beis and Vayikra Chaf Yud Gimel, the zocher le tishkav mishkeve isha te'evahi, right? A male cannot be with another male in the way he should normally be with a woman. That is an abomination, says the Torah. Says the Torah in Vayikra Chaf Yud Gimel that if they do such a thing, shnehem, right, to'eva asu, they did an abomination. Shnehem, both of them did abomination. Both masu, dmeim bam, they need to be killed. It's punishable by death. Now, regarding such relationships between women, that's included in a different pasuk. The pasuk says in Vayikra Yudches, pasuk Gimel, kimase eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo yisasu, like the actions of Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim that you dwelled in it, you should not do. Uchamasa Eretz Canaan, and like the actions of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama, that I'm bringing you there. Lo Itasu, you should not do. V'chukosem L'Seichu, you shouldn't go in their ways. So the Torah's Kanim says, what was that? What is the Maisa Eretz Mitzrayim and the Maisa Eretz Canaan? So the Torah's Kanim says, Ma hayu oisim, what did they do? Ha'ish noise le'ish, va'isha le'isha. The man used to marry man, and the woman would marry a woman. He gives a few other examples of things that they would do. And l'chach amar, so for that reason it says, v'chukoseim le'ish, don't follow in those types of ways. You have to, so that noise isha, isha is included in the Pasuk of Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim and Kemaisa Eretz Canaan. And the Rambam, and the Shulchan Rambam, and Hilchas Yisurei Bia, Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Ches, and Shulchan Aruch and Evin Ezer, Simin Chaf Halacha Beis, Paskin this as Halacha. So, obviously, if someone considers himself or herself a religious Jew, it is quite clear that one is bound by the very clear halacha as it's stated in the Torah Shebaksav and Torah Shebal Peh. I'll just mention that in leading up to this shir, I decided to look if there are any ways that, you know, as I said, unfortunately it's crept into certain, I would call them periphery, very, very light religious communities, and they, you know, this liberal idea of, you know, you gotta the accepting. And I asked like a few people, like, do you know, how do they answer these things up? There's a psukim in the Torah, like, what do you do with that? So I tried to do a search for it. I actually couldn't, my computer blocker didn't, internet blocker didn't open up. Yeah. But I was able to get whatever through something else. I was able to get it, and I found that there's actually an organization, terrible organization that you know helps people with this. And I was shocked, the sickness that is there. How they take the Torah, they actually quote the Gemara and Nazir, and they quote the Rambam and the Tur and Rashi and Mamash with the whole Lumdus. They warp things beyond belief, not just to show that the Torah is not against, but that every single thing you read, like a normal person that's clearly against, they take it and twist it to say, you see from here that it's okay. It's unbelievable how warped they are. But if you have, you know, first of all, somewhat of a normal sense of, you know, just a healthy sense of normalcy in you, and if you have basic learning skills in Judaism, then it's ridiculous. In any case, one thing is clear from the Sifri and from the Pasuk, right, that this issue is not a new issue, right? It's clear that in Mitzrayim and Canaan, this was not an uncommon practice, and that's why the Torah is explicitly warning against such behavior, right? They, for some reason, I don't know why, the Torah didn't feel like they had to be, it didn't have to be liberal and accepting of this behavior. And they're saying, even though that the society around you, where you came from and where you're going, Mitzrayim and Canaan, this may be considered acceptable, but you got to stay fully away from this, because it's a to'eva, it's an abomination, it's disgusting. Now, you know, the Torah only refers to a very select few averis with that lashon to'eva. It's really pretty serious. Now, the Rambam, when he delineates which arayas in Hilchas Melachim, Perek Tes Halacha Hey, which arayas are forbidden for non-Jews, okay, because that's one of their seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, right? That's one of the mitzvahs, is Gila Arayas. So when he lists what's considered forbidden for them, he lists gay relationships as one of those six Arayas that are forbidden to a non-Jew. Now, even though the behavior was practiced...
There's six Arayas forbidden to a non-Jew?
Yeah, the mother, Eishes Av, the wife of the father, Eishes Ish, a married woman, a person's sister from his mother, a male, and an animal. Okay. That's probably going to be next on the list of the very accepting, you know. I mean, if you join animal rights together with this, I don't see what's the big deal. I'm sure that's the next
step.
Huh?
We're
not getting into the details. I don't want to get into, you know. Now, even though the behavior was practiced in Mitzrayim and Canaan, that was because those countries were particularly perverse, right? We know in Chazal, the Jewish people were sent to Mitzrayim Dafka because Mitzrayim was the lowest of the low. It was the worst contaminated, perverse place on planet Earth. And Canaan wasn't far behind. So even though if you read the secular books, there was actually a lot of stuff going on like these things, and also with animals in ancient Egypt. But in most non-Jewish societies, even where there was such behavior, it wasn't condoned as normal. It was still considered abnormally and socially unacceptable, and that's clear from Rashi in Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara and Chulin, Daf Tzadi Beis Amun Aleph, teaches in the name of Ula, these are 30 mitzvahs. Elu shloisha mitzvah shekibla aleim b'nei Noach. There are 30 mitzvahs. In that Gemara, it says 30 mitzvahs that b'nei Noach were commanded. Ve'ein mekayimim elu shloisha. And they only are mekayim three of them. One of them is, the first one that's listed is, she'ein koisvin ksuba lezcharim. They don't write a marriage contract to males. Meaning males don't write a marriage contract to males. Rashi explains that even though they are suspected of Mishkav Zachar, it does happen in those places, right? It does happen in the non-Jewish world. And they do, unfortunately, designates another man. Ein nog in kalus roish be mitzvah zu. They don't have such a kalus roish, and that's so lightheaded when it comes to it. Kol kach, so much sheyichtu im ksuva, to the point that they're actually going to write a marriage contract. That already to, like, you know, institutionalize it and really give it the, you know, the sign of kashrus. It's good. Not that they're not that disgusting. Now, I have to say, you know, unfortunately, in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Eretz Yisrael, and Magen David Edom, right, not so long ago, switched their forms. You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to give blood anymore because on the forms that you have to fill out, I don't know if they actually switched it. They were talking about switching, and I think they actually did switch it. Instead of saying father and mother, where you fill out your father and mother's name, they switched it to parent one, parent two, as a in order to conform to the radical liberals who've promoted this sickness
the
here.
The Pasuk also assumes that you're leaving your father and your mother to get married.
Yes.
So the player also assumes you have.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, if you came on, yeah. Now there is hardly a bigger contradiction than a Jew living in Israel and still justifying and legitimizing such abominations. Right? When the Jewish statesmen who fought for the establishment of a Jewish homeland in Israel presented their case in England and other world forums, they used the Bible as their proof to the Jewish claim to the land. Right? So that very book that in its merit they are living here, right? That very book prohibits gay marriages and denounces such behavior as a despicable abomination. And it's a terrible thing that it's becoming so, like, yeah, you know, marches. This is Eretz HaKodesh, the land of Kedusha. And in Chutz Laaretz, most recently, right, in Disney, I don't know if you've heard about this here, but I've gotten, my brother sent me a letter from his school in L.A. He sent out a letter to the parent body, and he got an angry letter from at least one parent, how distressed and saddened they were from this letter, because in Disney, unfortunately, right, they used to produce these cartoon movies. They do, right? Cartoon movies for kids. Well, guess what? They put in some kind of act of, I think, a kissing scene between two men for kids in a Disney movie, right? So this parent, and again, this is from Jewish, an Orthodox school, right? Just so saddened and upset, and this was a perfect time for speaking about, and it's your letters, max of homophobic. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know. And see, you can understand that if Korach was punished for a relatively light, you know, subtle swapping of right and left attributes, right? Cohen and Levi functions, and thus harming the delicate balance between the right and left functions in the world, then all the more we are to understand that the liberal propaganda, which is promoting such unnatural and perverse behavior in society, are literally, like the Zohar says, destroying the world. And to add sick irony to this, they label anyone who is normal, who's against such ill, perverse, and immoral, right? They label people against that as, you know, racists and extremists, and, you know, everything switched, you know. How do they say the Lashon Hara? Lafochet et hayotzrot. Everything is overturned, completely backwards. But the truth of the matter is they're waging a war against God himself by trying to strip the world of the image of Hashem, of the Tzelem Elokim. It's a stripping of the world of the image of Hashem, which is described as a unit of male and female. That is an evil war that they are fighting. Now, of course, I'm not saying that the people that unfortunately may suffer from these problems and tendencies, whatever it is, they're you know, we have to try to help them if they're unfortunately a lot of them are suffering dafka because of these of the left who's pushed this kind of behavior, so it became trendy. And when, you know, kids and whatever, as they start to, you know, start to go cuckoo, like most teenagers go cuckoo in some kind of way, so this becomes one of the options. So they've, and then they'll complain about the suicide rate, which the more acceptance that's Canaan hasn't lowered that suicide rate, so they're raising the suicide rate, and then they'll turn it on the right. But okay, we're not getting into the politics of it, but obviously I'm just saying that we have to pity and help people. And one of the most fundamental points the Rambam hammers home in Shmona Prakam LaRambam, which we learned over here in the Shiur once upon a time, right, is that the Torah doesn't give us a mitzvah unless we have free choice. So, right, all the mitzvahs of the Torah presuppose that we have free choice, full-blown free choice. So the very fact that Hashem commanded us in the Torah against such behavior and laid down such behavior as a transgression, right, punishable, that's full proof that in general people have free choice to overcome this problem. We have to help them like anything else. You know, the world, all of us, we all have our chesronos, we all have deficiencies, we all have the things in it, and sometimes there be emotional difficulty. There's a package. We all are packages of nistinis. That's why we're here for, to try to overcome those things and make ourselves better and better people, polish ourselves and become anoshim kadoshim like we really inherently are. And these people are no different. So we have to try to help them to find themselves. But we certainly, the people that are pushing this stuff, the propagandists behind it, they also very often, it's coming from a place of this liberal thing, because they're just raised on completely ridiculous, insane values, and they don't have the Torah as the basis. So somewhat there, some of them are also Tinik Shanishpa, but at the end of the day, we have to call a spade a spade. It's a war of evil. It's a war of evil. So as the saying goes, when you give a finger, they take a hand. So once they managed to conquer a large percentage of Western society, right, they realized that there was still room to progress further. Progression's their favorite word. So then they began pushing an even crazier and more horrific idea attack on society in the form of the transgender movement, right? So that, from what I understand, is that, you know, if a person identifies as a male, then he or she is a male, because that's how they identify themselves. Doesn't matter what they are biologically. What does that have to do with anything? So these very confused and individuals then perform surgeries, undergo hormonal treatments to try to turn themselves into the gender physically, into the gender of their choice. And unfortunately, they've already been promoting this stuff for kids, which is really sick. I mean, that's really crazy, right? Kids have identity issues, and if they're exhibiting this behavior, this poor boy, he really feels like a girl. Okay, so let's cut off some organs and give him hormones and turn him into the girl that he really is. So, you know, we all know that, you imagine, like, every single child you give into all his whims. It's like a katan she'ein ba das. Now, they too realize a katan doesn't have das. He doesn't have knowledge. Why don't they give him voting rights? Give him voting rights! Before you cut off body parts or attach new appendages and mess around their hormonal, right, and make them cuckoo, right, give them voting rights. It's interesting, right? They didn't do that. I don't know why. So, halachically speaking, right, there's an isser in the Torah of Sirus, destroying the or damaging reproductive organs, as explicitly stated in Vayikra, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalet, and that includes not only human beings, but even animals and birds. You're not allowed to be Masaris. You're not allowed to do that. So there's a dispute in Chazal, which carries down into the Rishonim as well, as to whether a non-Jew is prohibited in Sirus. So that's a machlokas. As far as women, at least Jewish women for sure, they're also, it's a question what their level, if it's Rabbanan, Daraisa, that's a machlokes, but they're certainly usher in this as well. So as far as Jewish people, I'm sorry to inform the people that there's, I'm sorry to inform them, no, it's not mutter to do these operations, do this crazy stuff. But, the Torah agrees with the biology of the person, and a person can't change the gender, halachically it's not even not recognized. I'll tell you the truth, it's actually very interesting. I actually saw the Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, okay, on the pasuk of Mishkav Zohar in Achremos, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chav Beis, Ve Zohar Lo Tishkav Mishkav Isha. So they all ask, what does that mean, Mishkav Isha by a Zohar? There is no such thing. So he says, Rabbeinu, this is Lashon, the Yomer of Chananel Zal. Rav Chananel says, Ki yesh mi sheichadesh begufa kitzurus b'sar isha. There is such a thing of a person who makes a new thing in his body, like the form of the flesh of a woman. Vezelo yitachim b'tolada. It's impossible to be born like that, right? That's not the regular way he's born, but he makes this operation to give him some, like, turn himself into an isha, and that's the way he learns that the Mishkav Zohar, that's called Mishkav Zohar, and that's also Asur, even though he might have undergone this transgender operation to make himself a woman. Too bad. But it's interesting that actually already in the times of Rabbeinu Chananel, this such an idea was lurking, it was around. I don't know how successful their operations were. I don't know how successful the ones are today. But in any case, besides the Isra of Sirius, of course, there's the Isra of Loya Kli Gevra al Isha, V'lo Yilbash Gevra Simos Isha, that a man is not allowed to, a woman is not allowed to wear a man's clothing, and a man is not allowed to wear a woman's clothing, right? Which, it's even to the point in Shulchan Aruch, the man can't pluck a white hair from between dark hairs, or blacken his white hair, because that's considered a part of this prohibition of dressing like a woman. So obviously, a kal v'chomer, you can't start cutting off body parts and messing around with the body. That's certainly in the Isser. So, I don't know. It's actually, I don't know if that applies, this Isser applies to non-Jews, though, as far as Le'Sulbash. I have a tzad, maybe that you could say yes, because the reason that's given for this Isser in the Torah is that it brings to niyuf, it brings to promiscuous and inappropriate relationships. And most of these people do it, that's exactly what it's about. So, but I don't know. I'm not saying that it is. It might also fit into the class of mitzvah sichlius, like just common sense mitzvahs, that this is crazy. You're messing around with the creation. That the goyim are bound by that also. So it could be. I don't know. I'm not taking a stance on it. But I want to now look a little bit at something kabbalistically. You know, they have this idea that the male may feel more feminine and the female more male. So that might not be so surprising in the face of the Arizal and Shaar HaGilgulim. Shaar HaGilgulim says, the Arizal teaches, that sometimes a man will come back as a Gilgul in the body of a woman. And he says, usually, due to Averis of Mishkav Zohar. Or something like Mishkav Zohar. He says, Mishkav Zohar v'chiyotze, or something like that. He also discusses the opposite phenomenon of a woman coming back as a male. And he gives examples. Chaver Hakini. Hakini came back as a Gilgul in Chana, the mother of Shmuel. Eli HaKoin was the Gilgul of Ya'el, the wife of Chaver HaKoini. So, the most prominent commentary on Shaar HaGilgulim is a sefer called Bini Aaron by Shimon Agassi, and he discusses what's the halachic obligation of such a person. Do we consider him halachically keeping mitzvahs? Is he a woman or a man? Let's say you had that Arizal, he can tell you. He said, this guy's got a woman's neshama. And of course, Pashat, you know, he brings proofs that they must go according to the body that they currently possess. So I would venture to say that these people very likely might have what today would be called tendencies or feeling of like they're on the other side in a certain sense, right? But clearly their obligation doesn't change because of that. And if their obligation doesn't change because of that, means that Hashem knows that this is what's best for them. This is what's going to be the best for them. The fact is, Eli HaKohen was a Gadol Hador. He did the Avoid in the Mikdash. That's one of the proofs he brings. If he was considered a woman, he's not allowed to do Avoid in the Mikdash because the woman is not allowed to do the Avoid in the Mikdash. But they can clearly live fulfilled lives. And, it's just an Yitzhar like any other Yitzhar, which would have to be overcome. Now, let's go back to Korach. Korach was no simple person. Right? What was he thinking? He didn't chop, don't mess with the balance of right and left, of male and female aspects in the world. What was he thinking? How could he make a mistake to try to switch such rules? Have the Levim become Kohanim as implied by the Zohar, right, and have the Kohanim become Levim. So the answer lies in the Arizal in Shar Gilgulim Hakdama Lamed Hey. He writes there that indeed in the future, at some stage of the Geula, the roles of the Kohanim and Levim will be swapped. The Kohanim will become the Levim, and the Levim will become the Kohanim. And so that, as so many cases, major stories in history, right, a major mistake was made here in preceding the time for something. For example, Adam Arisha, we know, ate from the Eitz Hadas. If he would have waited till Shabbos, everything would be fine. He did it too early. Ochla Paga. David HaMelech, Batsheva. Batsheva was really his. Ochla Paga. It was too early. It wasn't yet time. Same with Korach. He apparently either knew or sensed that there's good reason to switch the roles here, except that his timing was all wrong, and it's all about timing. And timing, of course, is directly dictated by Hashem and the Torah. Now, anytime somebody sees some kind of major movement going on in the world that we've discussed in this past, whether it's the Jewish world or the world, the non-Jewish world as well, the world at large, he has to realize that there's some kind of spiritual movement going on under the surface. As we move closer to the Geula, the light of the Geula has begun to shine into the world. The light is there for taking, both by the good forces and also by the evil forces who are still very real until we'll be zeicha to Ache Kola Risha Kula Ka'ashan Tichle. The most fundamental change that will take place as the Geula kicks in is that the sun and the moon will return to equal size, meaning that the male and female aspects of the creation will become fully equal, as they were at the beginning of creation, before the Miyutei Yireach, before Hashem had to minimize the sun, the moon. The Arizal, based on a pasuk, describes the feminine quality as ultimately being higher. Lasid Lavo, in the future, will actually go higher than the male components. I wrote about this in my Sefer Atzimtzum Atzius, that it seems to be quite contradictory. Are they going to be equal, or is she going to be on top? So I wrote that my answer is that, and I really think this is the correct answer, is that they will be equal. But at the stage of the Geula, mankind will become so fully engaged in being receivers of the light of the Ein Sof, the light, Hashem's light, right? That man's role on this planet as conqueror and even script writer will end. And Hashem will reveal himself to all the world, right? When that happens, man becomes like paralyzed in a sense. And that's why the pasuk refers to the day is the future, right? Yom She'emem Chefetz, that there won't be Bechira, there won't be free choice. We're just going to be, at that point, just there to receive Hashem's Shefa, His flow. And the Ein Od Milvada will just take up, so like there's almost like no room for us to do. So the male component of action, of doing, is going to fall to the background. Okay, so just to, again, so, in other words, the male and female will be equal, but the manifest quality in all the creation, by all males and all females, will be the female quality, just receiving Hashem's light. That is going to be the dominant aspect, and therefore, from that bechina, it's going to be, from that aspect, from that perspective, the female will be on top, even though technically, the male and female will be absolutely one. And so I've said in the past, and I'll say it again here, is that, again, the light of the Geula is shining into the world. And because many people don't have the appropriate kalim, the appropriate vessels, to receive these subtle rays of light, so the light manifests. The light manifests itself in an inappropriate way, right? In a way that pushes away the Geula instead of ushering it in. And this light of the future is really the deeper meaning behind the whole feminist movement to begin with. It's that feminine quality that is beginning to feel its calling on the world stage. Rightfully so, right? But because it's not time yet, it's a repeat of Korach's mistake. Acting on something real before the appropriate time, that's a big mistake, which is destructive. Right? One destroys the world in that way rather than helps fix it and advance it to Geula. But now, right, like we said, there's a further social psychosis that's taken over the spiritually distant inhabitants of Western society, and that is this transgender craze. But this, too, is coming from the same spot. The Arizal teaches us that the male and female are going to be shtaim shem shtam shem bekeser echad, like two that are using the same crown, meaning fully, it's a way of expressing they're going to be fully one and equal. But that losh bekeser echad, they're going to be like just one. That, right, again, the right and the left, if you want to call it, the male and the female, right? When that light, that very light, comes into people that are far from God, that are not bound by Torah, by the Bible for that matter, because it's true also of Christians, right? Any religious person, right? But if you're not bound if you're not attached to God in some way, we don't have religion, so it makes them nuts. It makes them crazy, this light. And it's causing them to blur the lines between male and female. Oh, shtayim sham shem kesser echad. So there's no more male and female. It blurs the line between, right? So they deny science. They try to redefine male and female as purely subjective, so that ultimately there really is no male or female, right? They believe, I think, that some of them hold, you know, you can, they could be part-time male, part-time female. Yeah. It's like the whole thing is gone. But all this is happening, this is particularly important because it's happening for the first time in history, this kind of social thing. This has never happened. Mishkav Zarcha, yes. But what's going on now, that's never happened. This is very significant. And therefore, I do think it is a clear sign. I know that we hear this all the time, like your emotions, that, you know, hey, we heard so much that the ghoul is coming, there's so many signs. It's true. It's a process, you know. But, you know, besides maybe transgendering into an animal, which I said it might be the next step, you know, but we're almost there. I mean, because listen, this is the peak. This is the peak, and this is the kilkel. So from the mess up of the concept, you see that the concept is it's the baby that's trying to be born into the world. It's ready to come in. So and dafka, the way to bring it in is by being shomer on the gvulos, by at this point in time guarding the limitations, the boundaries, the definitions, right, of male and female, of male role, female role, and guarding this beautiful balance that Hashem put into the world. And when the time comes, he will let us know, you know, and it's not going to be in machlokas. It's not going to be any, like, people more progressive than others or more liberal. It's all going to be very, very clear. And to toy with this balance at this point is still to destroy the world and to destroy the Tzelem Elokim. And it's a Muhammad against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to, of course, take up that fight and guard the Torah and let it be known to anybody that may be on the border, so to say, that what the true hashkafa of the Torah is, and Bez Hashem will be zeicha to see things, the Kabbalah that's behind it, the pnimius that's behind it, to really come into the world properly. Bez Hashem b'mheira uvakarav, and won't have to hear things about the gula's coming anymore because they'll be here. All right. If anybody has any ha'aras or questions.
Yeah. Blanks for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Even in the Jewish world, it looks like there's been the men and women have been becoming more like equal. The woman, like the Rambam, always speaks out their papas and das, but then at least with Bais Yaakov, especially since then, there's been more.
They became more learned, and they're going out to work and different things.
Yeah.
As long as it's within the halacha and it's done within the rules of tznius and whatever it is, so adarabba, it's probably also a good sign. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a very good thing that women are learned, they're knowledgeable, they're able to produce. Yes, 100%. You know, and in a certain sense, I think, the females have developed their male capabilities, and perhaps also more recently the males have been developing more, I think so, their female capabilities. And that's, yes, part of the process where we're coming to that point of Shtayim Shtayim Shemekasser Echad, where that balance is just going to be completely through and through everyone in this beautiful unity. But we can't push the button before it's time. All right. Agudvach, Shavua Tov, and Besurot Tovot. Good to see everybody.